All right, praise the Lord. God is good. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13 to 25. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, it says, therefore. You know when the Bible says therefore, it means because of. Amen? Is anybody listening? Amen? Thank you. All right. So, therefore what? Look back over here to verse 3. It says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ in his great mercy. Everybody say mercy if you would. All right. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So we got a hope. Now, because we got that hope, therefore, we jump back up here to verse 13. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. And as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. That's going to require change. Can I get a witness on that? Just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do, for it is written, be holy because I am holy. Since you call on a Father who judges each man's work impartially, you live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake, and through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. Now you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers. Love one another deeply from the heart, for you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all men are like grass, and their glory is like the flowers of the field, and the grass withers, and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. Lord, we come to you this morning, Lord. And I thank you for your incredible presence in our time of worship this morning, Lord, that you speak to our hearts, Lord, you speak to our minds, and you transform situations, Lord, and that you speak directly to us, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would just open our hearts and our minds to hear from you, Lord, that we would indeed walk it out, that we would make some changes. We would find fullness in you in Jesus' name. And everyone said? Peter's talking about the church in action. And I tell you what, folks, yesterday we saw some of that. And it is so wonderful to see it. And Aaron had a whole list of people. Elsie's probably cooking all night. I don't know. She had a bunch of food over there. And both of them, Aaron and Elsie, downstairs working right now, trying to work the kingdom. Many of you were there yesterday, and I thank you for the effort that you did. It is so awesome. You know, Aaron and Reverend Mars were saying, hey, we want to tell you what we're doing. And I said, no, it's okay. And Reverend Mars says, we want to do everything in decency and in order. And I said, I know that's in the Bible, but the Bible also says, find trustworthy men. Amen. And turn stuff over to them and let the church be the church. And it is so awesome on a day like yesterday when the church shows up. It is an awesome thing to see. The church, a place for you. Talking about the glory of God today. Jesus talked about the church. He says to Peter, Matthew chapter 16, 18, I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of Hades are not going to overcome it. And there is this picture of the church marching forward and just kicking down the doors of hell. And I'm telling you, there were some ragged folks over there at that park yesterday. Can I get a witness on that? And I'm telling you, they were seeing some folks that were set free, and I got to think that there was a hunger. There should have been a hunger. Saying, whoa, what do these people got? And it was more than just Elsie's chicken. Amen? The power of God. And God bestows his power, bestows his glory on the church. And there are things. The church is God's program. It is where we worship. And we got that today. It is where you come to the church where we can learn. You come to the church where you can serve. You come to the church, you just hang out. You come to the church and you can have impact. That is God's program for the planet. I'll build my church, and the gates of hell are not going to stand a chance against it. Amen? The church is where God is at. The title of today's message is The Glory of God. The glory of God. You got to get some or you got to give some. Let's take a look. Amen? All right. We come to the Lord with problems. Can I get a witness on that? Amen. I'll tell you what, you're here today because you're looking for something. Amen? And you either need it or you found it and you're happy you got it. So I'm glad that you are here today. The Bible says, for all men are like grass, and their glory is like the flowers of the field. We come to the Lord with problems, but it didn't start that way. Men are born with glory. Glory of what? The flowers of the field. I mean, sometimes you come across flowers and your breath is just taken away. Wow. So incredibly awesome. And the Lord has created us like that. Men are like the flowers of the field. We start off a little wobbly. You know, we kind of start growing into our strength and starting to learn how to run. And then you get older and you get a little bit more mature. My son came up to me the other day, you know, he's lifting weights and stuff. And he goes, I almost got arrested the other day, Dad. I'm not kidding you, he said this. And he's going, yeah, he like flexes, you know. He said, cops saw me walking around with two guns and a six-pack. You know, it takes a while. Some of you guys will get it later on. How come that happens? Why does that happen? Well, you were created with a purpose. God says, Genesis 1:26, first book of the Bible. God said, let us make man in our image. We are created, man and woman, in the image of God. God has glory. Amen? And he bestows that on us. Why? He says, let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth. Guess what? You're going to rule over all the earth. You're going to have a little bit of a skill set to start off with. Amen? Hey, man, you are equipped to reign. And God wants great things for you. He says, over all the creatures that move along the ground. And so God creates us for great and wonderful things. And then we mess it up. See, we kind of see this talent that we've got, and we can start moving in the wrong direction. We have our own glory. We said the glory of the flowers. We don't really need God's. It's like, God, you know, I don't really need you right here. I'm doing pretty good. I got my six pack. I got my guns. I'm looking good. And I'm getting better every year. I'm doing okay, God. I'll get back to you later, maybe. See, we can become full of ourselves. We can become full of pride. Is anybody? Yeah, some people know what I'm talking about. But the start is only a start. Because then he says, the grass withers and the flowers fall. And what was looking so good, what was looking so powerful, what was looking so strong, my guns and my six-pack, they're sagging now. I don't know what you got that's sagging, but age hits. And things start to fail. And at some point, you will come to the end of your strength. You'll come to the end of your resources. Your body begins to break down. I'm feeling it. See some of these young guys over here, probably going, I don't know what you're talking about. It's coming. It's coming. All these people know what I'm talking about. So you begin to realize that you can't get where you want to go with what you got. And you begin to realize that you need a change. And many of you are here today going, I need a change. See, life is a challenge. We are surrounded by challenges. And how you pass the challenge, how you pass the test, how you pass the trials, it is a display of where you're at in your life. See, failed tests make you aware of the need for change. Natty was talking to Mike yesterday, Martin, about fixing her car. Her car was broke down. And she just came in from out of town and got in her car and turned that key and nothing happened. And guess what happened? That car failed the start test. And she went over to some auto parts store and they said, oh, you got a battery problem. The battery that you've got is undersized for your car. And so you got to get a new battery, a bigger battery. And what they said is you got to make a change. We got to get you some more power. And so they gave her that new battery, and she got in that car, and it just fired right up. She says, yeah, I got more power now. See, as she was driving that car started getting a little bit older. Just that the old setup wouldn't work anymore. She needed to make a change. And through that, we find that in our lives, we need a change. That our old glory is not enough anymore. That we're just kind of running down. Men's glory is like the grass. It'll be here for a little while, and then it's going to burn up. So you got to make a change. Verse 3, this is that one I went back. Praise be, because there is an opportunity for change. Can I get a witness on that? Jesus hung on a cross so that you might have change, so that you might have opportunity to receive his glory. And he says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, in his love for you, in his gift for you, in his desire that you would be whole. He says, man, I made these guys to be good and they're messing all up. Let's give them another shot. In his great mercy, he's given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And that is the message of the church. That is the message of the cross today, that you come and say, I need a new opportunity. Now, some of you are insulted by that. You're thinking, I'm not so messed up. I'm doing okay. Well, this isn't for you. Come back in a month. Come back in a year. Come back in 10 years. And you'll come to the realization that you've got a need that only Jesus can fill. Flowers fall. Men's glories fall. And if you're looking for something new, Jesus has something for you. He says, I got something for you if you're looking for it. Come to me, you who are weary. Come to me, you who are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Now, how many of you, rest sounds pretty good right now? It's like I've just been tore down by life. Tore down by the attack of the enemy, just ripped to shreds. I used to be going okay, and now, man, the stuff that used to work don't work anymore. Man, rest sounds pretty good right now. He says, come to me, and I'll give you rest. Whew. Yeah, I could take that change. Jesus hung on the cross to restore you from that faded glory, to give you new glory, his glory. You're thinking, wait a minute, what are you talking about? Right here, Jesus praying to our Father in heaven, I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. And see, and Peter's saying, the glory that you got isn't going to last. You need to get something new. And Jesus saying, I am passing out my glory. And if you are looking for it, you can find it. Now, Peter takes that up and he says that you got to live out that change. I'm giving out glory, but you're going to get it. You're going to have to be different. He says, prepare your minds for action. What does that mean? That means you got to start thinking about it. You can't just be running on natural. You got to kick that brain into gear. He says, be self-controlled. Set your hope not on your SSI check, not on money that's coming from Washington. He says, you set your hope fully Now, God might use your SSI check, but you got to realize who's passing it out. Our God owns the whole planet. Can I get a witness on that? You know, he owns cattle on a thousand hilltops, and he spreads them out how he sees fit. He says, you set your hope fully on the grace be given to you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires that you had when you lived in ignorance. Now, ignorance does not mean stupid. Ignorance means untrained. Now you can get trained. That's why you've got to put your brain in motion. Put your brain in action. Change is going to take effort. Prepare your mind. I talked last week about victory, your winning in life. John, you getting back here. I got to imagine every day you were pretty much on your guard. Yeah, you're putting out, right? I'm like, I'm just going to take the day off, man. I'm just going to go cruising through Baghdad today. Probably didn't happen, right? Man, you probably get in country, you're just like on guard for a whole stinking year, and then you're back. Woo! Jesus is saying, hey, you got to put some effort in. You want to find victory? It ain't going to come to you laying on a couch. Your victory is not going to come and hunt you out. You know, it's like, oh, maybe someone just slide a lottery card underneath my couch, a winner. Oh, don't you love it when the people get the fake lottery cards, you know, and Harry, here's a lottery card. And I won! You've seen those? They're like prank lottery cards. I won $1 million. Like, look, we all did. It's like, you ain't going to find it just sitting on a couch. He says, you got to be self-controlled. You're going to control yourself. You're going to control yourself from the evil desires that you had. It's like being on a diet. Now, that there's like chocolate cheesecake. That's a whole one in the back. You just like slice it. It's like, oh, a piece? I don't need a piece. Just give me the whole thing. See, you're going to be on a diet. You got to have some self-control. Now, maybe sweets aren't your thing. Well, self-control. See, when you're going to be controlled from your evil desires, it's like being on a diet from sin. Like from what? Like from gambling. Like from drinking. Like from drugs. Like from gossip. All that stuff will mess you up. Now, you got to be self-controlled. Why? Why? Just because God wants to take my partying away? Hey, we're just having a good time. Oh, we're going to win. Oh, just get a little bit high. I got medical marijuana. And I just want to know what's going on. These are all ways that you are just kind of flowing in your own glory. You're just kind of running on your own steam, finding your own action. And the problem, see, here's the situation. God has given you glory, but to get it, you got to get rid of your own. See, you running so hard after your glory, you got no room for God's glory in your life. And he's saying, you got to make a change. You got to make some room for God in your life. It's like, oh, yeah, I want Lord. Way over here on the side. You know, it's kind of like when you're ordering at Denny's, you know, the all you want. You know, yeah, give me a couple sausages on the side. Some of us treat Jesus like that. Jesus wants to be the plate. Amen? So you got to make room for Jesus, and you got to make time for Jesus. You got no time for Jesus. You're too busy running off your own glory. You got room for his glory in your life. See, some of us just need to move Jesus up on the priority list of our lives. Amen. I'll tell you, you know, I mean, we got no problem making room for some other things, but sometimes the last thing on your list is making room for our Lord. Oh, he'll just wait. He's patient. That ain't how it rolls, man. Some of you need to work this out and get the glory of God in your life. Some of you today are going, wow, that worship time, this is what I need. You're in the right place today. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Mike. Would you turn the fan off, bro? Some of you know what I'm talking about, and you've got glory. You've got God's glory in your life. And you know what? You got to love enough to care. You got God's glory. It's time to start giving it out. You got to start working for the Lord, saying, Lord, thank you for what you're doing in my life. I'm ready to be used by you. He says, now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, now that you have received from the Lord, now that you're hooked up with God, he says, you have so that you have sincere love for your brothers, he says, love one another deeply from the heart. Genuinely, sincerely. Now, the love that he is talking about is making an accurate assessment of the need of someone around you and then meeting that need. You got to put your love into action. You got to be in gear. And that's what was so awesome about yesterday, is I saw all this stuff going on. And it was all the Lord. I didn't put none of it together. I just showed up and ate some of Elsie's chicken. There's going to be some leftovers today. Come on down for lunch. You're going to enjoy that. Love is an accurate assessment of the need of another and then the ability to meet that need. The church, a place for you, gives you an opportunity to express that. Mike, making up that ramp. Balthazar donated the ramp. We had to cut it up, cut it in half, messed it all up, put it all back together again. Now we've got this great ramp. All the folks taking kids over and doing the food and all that stuff and the toys and all the stuff yesterday. It's a church. People in the church sharing the glory of God, giving it out. You got the glory of God, you got to get some or you give some. Why is the church such a great place to learn how to do that? Because people walk in here wilted. People walk in here with problems. We are a target-rich environment for people with problems. Can I get a witness on that? And it used to be some of you, and some of you are getting well. You know what? You can relate to somebody with a problem. Say, you know what? I used to have that. And they'll look at you and they'll go, you? No way. It blows me away when people think I'm so straight up. You're Pastor Bob. You don't know nothing about nothing. You don't even know where I came from. See, we got to have love one for another. Look at this little girl. Come here, right here. Come here. Can I use her for a second? Hey, you. All right. What's your name? What's your name?
Armani.
It's like a suit. Armani suit. Now, you get sick sometimes? Yeah, sometimes. I bet you when she gets sick, her mama just comes running. And whatever Armani needs, Armani gets. She's just going to do that. I bet you Blanca, grandma's coming too. Everybody's rallying. Armani's sick. Oh, no. That's the love that the Lord wants you to have. For what? For the brothers, for the sisters to be able to come running. Now, what's the problem? See, we got walls up. Lord says, get them walls down. It's like when Cecilia sees Armani playing with some other kid that's sick. Ah! Get my kid away from that sick kid. What are you letting that sick kid in here for? We got walls up. Don't get my kid sick. And the Lord is saying, I want you to have compassion. So that you can reach out to that other sick kid. Jesus says, or Peter is telling, guided by the Holy Spirit, let your love be genuine. Let it be expressed. Let it flow. B, got to put it in action. Put your love in gear. This is 1 John. 1 Peter, 1 John, different guy. Dear children, chapter 3, verse 18. Let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and truth. Let's let it be real. You got to love enough to act. You got to love enough to put it in gear, to put out effort. messed up people are going to need some help. The Lord is calling you to help them. The Lord is calling you to make a difference. You are part of the program. You've got God's glory. It's time to start giving it out. Now, sometimes, and I need all you urban folks to listen up. That's all you. Sometimes you got to love enough to speak. Now, John's talking about just giving lip service. Oh, yeah, not doing it. I'm talking about you step into a situation that you know is bad. And you speak into that. And that's not what people in the hood do. Oh, well, that's on her. Oh, well, she shouldn't have done that. Oh, she knows better than that. And a lot of people don't. A lot of people's glory has faded. They're making poor choice after poor choice after poor choice, and you know it, and you see it, and you do nothing. That's on them. Why? Because in the hood, you don't get into nobody else's business. But in the church, you do. Not because you want to get in their face, because you have compassion. Because the Lord Jesus Christ hung on a cross for you, and he had mercy on you. And when you see your friend making poor choice after poor choice after poor choice, you're just going to say, you know what? This just can't stand anymore. I gotta love enough to care. You could be making a poor choice with a man. And hopefully you got somebody come alongside you saying, you know what? Don't be a fool again. You might be making a poor choice with them pictures up there. You might be going up to Viejas. I'm just going up for the buffet. No way. That's a lie. You know, just going to have one cocktail. You know somebody's got some problem with gambling, problem with drugs, problem with alcohol. You can speak into their heart. You say, you know what? I've been there. If you ain't been there, there's somebody in this church who has been. You can grab them and go talk to your brother in the Lord, your sister in the Lord. Say, I've been there. We will help you. The Lord Jesus Christ will help you. You have to be self-controlled, receive the glory of God, and then you can be a source of healing in somebody else's life. Saying, I don't know, man. I don't know if that'll work in the hood. Well, God ain't letting you off. Ezekiel 3:18. When I say to a wicked man, you will surely die, and you do not warn him or speak out to dissuade him from his evil ways in order to save his life, that wicked man will die for his sin, and I will hold you accountable. See, God puts his glory in you for a purpose. You are the program to restore this planet. And you are to have compassion, and you are to have mercy, and you are to have, and when you know, when you got it, when you see that person in need. Lord's saying, right there, that's the one. Oh, I could never. Oh, it's on you. Why? Because I pointed out to you, you need to do nothing with it. You are going to be my tool to touch that person's life. Now, it goes on to say, everybody say, Belteshazzar, you got to quit doing this. And he says, I don't care what you say, Pastor Bob. Bible goes on to say, you can read it in chapter 3, then it's on him. Because I've done my job. I was the tool of the Lord. The glory of God. You got to get it or you got to give it. So where are you at today? Maybe you came in here wilted like them flowers. And you're just going, oh man, I need something today. I need something for me. You came to the right place. The Bible says that two or three are gathered in his name. He's right here. Lisa's going to come up and play. But before we go, and I want you to know I was quite short today. Working on that. You're here today and you're thinking, Now I know what it is. I've been running on my own glory, and it's fading fast. And the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking to you. You're afraid I'm going to say your name right now. I have been there. I have been there. He is saying, I will redeem you from your life. I will give you a new life, but you've got to lay your life down, and I'll pick you up, and I'll give you a brand new life. You're here today, and you're at the end of your rope. You're to the point where you're saying, Lord, I'm ready to make the change. The Lord will meet you right now. We're going to pray. I got one more thing to do, but we're going to pray. Lord Jesus, I come to you this morning, Lord. And as you saved me 20 years ago, and as you moved on so many people in this church past years, Lord, right now, Lord, I am trusting that you are speaking to hearts, Lord. I thank you for Thomas, Lord. You touched his heart weeks back. For Timothy, that you called him months back. That next week, go into the baptism tank, Lord, the display of that death to the old and rising to new life, Lord. And I am believing that you are touching hearts right now. And nobody looking around and nobody talking. And if you got the glory of God in your life, I'm just anticipating you're praying with me right now. But right now you came in here and you got problems and you've got drama and you've got that wilted, faded life, and you're saying, today I'll trade it in. I'm not going to hold anything back. Lord, what you got for me, I want. You got something new. I don't quite understand all this yet, but I want it, and I'm going to follow you for the rest of my life. Nobody's looking around, but the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking to you plainly right now. Maybe your legs just feel like they're on fire. It happened to me. But you know that the Lord is speaking to you. And you want to say, yes, Lord, here I am. I want it. Nobody looking around. The Lord's speaking to your heart. I just want you to just raise up your hand and say, that is me today. Here, here and here, here and there, here, or right here. Anybody else say, that is me. That is me. Back there, yes. Back there, yes. Hallelujah. Here, praise the Lord. Glory to God. Lord, as you hung on the cross, said all these people, they don't know what they're doing, Lord. Forgive them, Lord. And that prayer goes out today, Lord. I thank you that you are right here in this room, Lord, that you touch hearts, Lord, that you speak to situations. Lord Jesus, I just pray right now for each person, Lord, that has just said, find me, Lord. Find me, Lord. Restore me, Lord, to a future that only you see, Lord. I have been lost, Lord, and I'm tired of it, and I don't want to be found by you today. Lord, each person that put their hand up today, Lord, I am just praying by your Holy Spirit, Lord, that you just seal them, that you call them, Lord, into fullness. We give you praise for that in Jesus' name. What's that? One more thing, just take a moment. You're here today, and you're kind of smiling because you have received, you know, it says, now that you have been perfected, now that you have been obedient to the Lord, now that you have come into an understanding of who He is and have seen that transformation, He's saying, you get prepared for action. You get ready to give out, and you're going, I think that's me. I think that's me. I felt that. I was so excited. Lord, you can use me. I mean, I had problems. I was wilted. And you'll use me for your program to transform this planet? He's saying, I'll use you. And I'm going to pray one more time. Let's do that. Lord, right now you're just calling people ahead, Lord, that you're saying, yeah, I see what you've done. I know what you've done. I've cleansed you from your past. We got something going on, and I want to use you in a mighty way. And you're just feeling excited right now. You're saying, Lord, here I am, a sinner. Use me. Transform me, Lord. I will be about your business. Glory to your name. Glory to your name, Lord. I'll follow you. Empower me, Lord. Use me, Lord. Nobody's looking around, but the Lord is calling out your name right now. I just want you to just raise your hand and say, here I am, Lord. Right here, right here, right here, right here, right all over the place. Hallelujah, Lord. We give you praise this morning, Lord, that you will use us, Lord. Fallen people, Lord, that you just would lift us, Lord, from inactivity to prepare our minds to be used. Give you praise for that in Jesus' name. Let's just stand. Hallelujah. Let's sing a couple of songs there, Lisa. Whichever one you want.